Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying,
Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed from the roof. I tell you, my friend, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him, which after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head, after all, are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worthy more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgotten. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you all that at that time what you should say.
Thank you. That's so.
Wonderful. Well, I'm continuing my series today on the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is for everyone. And last time we were looking at Jesus confronting religious legalism in the end of Luke 11. Today, we're looking at these first 12 verses of Luke with the title, Who Are You Afraid Of? Who do you fear? Who influences you? Who do you try to please? Who has power over you? Some of us might say, well, I don't fear anyone. I'm not afraid of anyone. I'm my own person. No one has power over me. No one has influence over me. Well, I would simply say, who are you conning? You're conning yourself. Why do you do what you do? Why do you act and think and speak and dress even, or vote as you do? You know, we're all influenced by other people, aren't we? We're influenced by people that we respect. We're influenced by people that we don't want to offend because we are afraid of them. Why, when you meet particular people, does your adrenaline start pumping? Your heart start racing? Why do you get all sweaty and stressed when you meet those people? Because you fear them. Because you're afraid of them. Why don't you do some things? Why don't you go to certain places? Why don't you walk the streets at night? Why don't you put yourself in a vulnerable situation? Why do you lock the door when you left home? I hope you did, by the way. Don't then spend the rest of the sermon worrying whether you did or not. The number of times I go back, did I actually lock that door? You know, and you forget, you get in the car, and then you go back and just check you did actually do it. We do those things because we fear what others might do to us, don't we? We all have those fears. You know, an important statement to say is whoever you fear will control your life. Do you realize that? Whoever you fear will control your life. So who controls your life? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Or is it someone else? Is there someone who makes you do and say things you don't actually really want to do? Is there someone else who has a power over you? It might be a domineering husband. Trisha's in Lisbon today, not because I'm a domineering husband. Hopefully. It may be a domineering husband, it may be a domineering wife, it may be parents that we live in fear of, it may be children. Now, it's a very sad thing when you see parents who are in fear of upsetting their children, where the children rule the household. It might be your boss at work, it might be your line manager, it might be a supposed friend who has a big influence over you, it may be peer group pressure. Because we can become trapped and enslaved by the people who influence us, can't we? We really can. They have a power over us. And God does not want us to fear man and what man can do to us. God says, fear him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not a quaking fear of God, but a reverence and respect for God that leads us to relationship with God, that inspires us to do and say what pleases God rather than someone else. And therefore, we love to worship God. We love to put him first. We love to follow him. We love to obey and serve him. We are filled with thankfulness for what he's done. We love to worship him as we've done this morning, because he is now our Savior. He is now our friend. He is now our Father, who delights to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, who delights to give us good gifts. So Jesus says in these words, in Luke 12, don't fear man or woman. Don't fear what people might do to you, because fear will lead you into oppression. It will lead you into slavery. It will lead you into manipulation. It's a horrible thing to feel you're being manipulated by someone else. It will lead you into abuse, ending up being abused by another person. You will feel pressurized to do what they want, to do what you don't want to do, pressurized to believe and behave, to conform to what they believe and how they want you to behave. And Jesus wants each one of us to be free from people pressure, from peer group pressure today. Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. You can't improve on God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. It is the best. And you know, Jesus wants each one of us to be transformed. You know, sometimes the most wonderful thing about becoming a Christian is actually realizing, as you submit your life to God, that you are free from the control of others who would influence you and lead you in bad paths, lead you in wrong ways. So what does Jesus say here about fear and about Pharisees and about hypocrisy? In Luke 12, Jesus says to his disciples, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Jesus is saying, don't fear the Pharisees. Don't be influenced and guided by them. Don't believe what they believe. Don't follow their legalistic Bible teaching. The Pharisees were effectively the Jewish religious police of Jesus' day. They held the religious positions of power, which were also political positions of power as well. It was they who interpreted the Bible. It was they who interpreted the law of God. It was they who dictated to the people what they had to believe and how they had to behave. So the Pharisees were at the top of the pyramid. Everyone else had to follow their rules and regulations in relationship to God. They dictated what you believed, and they dictated how you were to behave. They had multitudes of laws you had to obey in order to be acceptable to God. If you were a sinner and you had messed up your life, or you had disobeyed God's law, there was no hope for you, folks. No hope for you. You were a despised sinner, not worthy to enter the temple to worship God. How different from the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the friend of sinners. That means he can be the friend, your friend and my friend. It doesn't matter what you've done, you can come to God. But there will always be religious people who say you're not good enough. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to improve this and do all these things. You have to jump through my hoops before you can come to God and be acceptable to God. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The wonderful truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is he reaches down into the pit of our lives, in all the mess, in all the brokenness, in all the pain, in all the mistakes, in all the problems and difficulties of our lives, of our own making. And he reaches down into that pit, which we cannot climb out of ourselves. We cannot improve ourselves. And he lifts us up and he sets our feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ. He cleanses us. He cleans us up. He forgives us and he gives us a new life founded on Jesus Christ. That is the heart of the gospel. It's the opposite of religion. Some people I meet say, oh, you must be very religious. You're a pastor. I'm not religious at all. I hate religion because religion is a system of rules and regulations to climb your way up to God, to try and impress God. And if you keep climbing high enough, maybe God might just smile on you. He might just let you into heaven. That's religion. And if you've messed up, you're still at the bottom. And there's no hope of being able to climb out at all. Religion stinks. And the Pharisees stank. The Pharisees had the power in Jesus' day to stop you worshipping God at the temple. They had the power to punish and condemn you and make your life a misery. They had the power to ostracize you from your family and your friends. They could destroy your reputation. They could order for you to be flogged, imprisoned, and murdered. That's what they did to Jesus, remember? Because he didn't fit in to their idea of religion. The Son of God didn't fit in. But don't think the Pharisees were only around in Jesus' day. There are Pharisees around today as well. In fact, there are evangelical Christian Pharisees around today. How can you tell? Well, they believe they have all the truth. Only they can accurately understand and teach the Bible and theology. Only they are truly filled and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Only they are truly holy and godly. And often they get themselves into positions of power and influence as Christian leaders or pastors and Bible teachers. And some of them you will see and hear on Christian TV channels. And some of you have left churches where leaders were acting like that. Woe betide you if you're in one of those churches, if you have a different understanding of the Bible or theology. You will be disciplined, you will be rejected if you do not follow their rules and behavior, if you do not conform to what they believe and say that you should wear and how you should act and everything else about it. You will be told if you do not conform that you're a heretic or you're a second-class Christian or you're not good enough or you're not holy enough or you're rebellious and you'll be rejected by them and therefore you'll be rejected by Jesus. Jesus says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free, not to be yoked again by a bond of slavery. Amen? Freedom is so important. Jesus says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Pharisees are hypocrites, says Jesus. They put a heavy legalistic burden on others, but they can't keep their own rules and standards. They put up barriers to stop people finding God, but they're not right with God themselves. They make great show of their Bible knowledge and holiness, but they are unholy underneath. They have no victory over their own sin and wickedness. They are in love with themselves. They are in love with power. They are in love with their own theology. And they are abusing those who follow them. Jesus says, don't fear them. Don't fear anyone else who has that power and authority. What does Jesus say in verse 4? I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Some of you will have seen on television the program The Masked Sinner. That's a good one. Singer. Slight slip of the tongue there. It would be good, actually, if it was called The Masked Sinner, wouldn't it? Whoop. Falling off the stage. That would be great. But it's called The Masked Singer. Let's get that straight. And I've never actually watched the whole program of it, but I have seen it on television. And you will know a little bit about that program. But, you know, The Masked Singer is a perfect example of what a hypocrite is. It's someone who is wearing a mask, someone who is covering up what they are underneath, someone who appears very different from what they really are. And Jesus says these words in verse 2. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I think that's one of the scariest verses in the whole Bible. I honestly do. Allow the Holy Spirit to convict you through those verses. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the room, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed from the roofs. Will be proclaimed to everyone from the roofs. They didn't have PA in those days. If you wanted to make a proclamation to the biggest crowd you could possibly go, you went up on the flat roofs. Thankfully, they didn't have pitch roofs like we have in England, otherwise you'd fall off. And they would shout it from the rooftop so everyone can hear. And that is scary, isn't it? That's a scary verse in the Bible. The hypocrite hides behind masks and deceives many people, but Jesus guarantees that what is hidden will be made known. On the final judgment day, every word, every action, every secret will be shouted from the rooftops. It will be exposed to everyone. Everyone will know all your dark secrets. All you hide from others, all the things that you don't want anyone else to know, because if they knew about them, they wouldn't like you anymore. If they knew about them, you know, if you knew all my dark secrets, you probably wouldn't come to this church. You know, all those things. All those most embarrassing things will be brought into the light and shouted from the rooftops. Well, I tell you, I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I hope none of you want to hold on to being hypocrites. You know, I don't want you shocked and surprised on Judgment Day when all my shouts, all my secrets are being shouted from the rooftops. No, Pastor, look at Pastor John Watts. Look what he got up to. Look what he was doing when we weren't watching. You know, he was pretending to be this, no holy pastor. Well, I don't ever pretend to be a holy pastor, but pretending to be this good pastor. But you know, I would rather be humble before God, wouldn't you? I would far rather not try and pretend I'm someone that I'm not. I'd far rather confess my hidden sins to Jesus and to submit to God out of reverent fear. That is far better. You know, God already knows the darkest secrets of your heart. God already knows everything about me. Even the things I've forgotten that I ought to be ashamed of. Even the things that I'm ignorant of that I've got totally wrong that I ought to be ashamed of. God knows everything. God knows everything. God knows the worst about you. God knows the evil that you have said, the evil that you have thought, the evil that you have done. But God still wants you to be his child. He still wants you to come to him. He still wants you to submit your life to Jesus. He still wants you to confess those sins and believe in his forgiveness for those sins. And again, that is the heart of the gospel. God knows us through and through. And he invites us to come and confess our sin to him. In fact, we are totally foolish, aren't we, if we keep those secret sins hidden in our lives? If we try to pretend to God and others that we are better than we are? We are totally foolish if we don't confess those sins to God. If we don't receive his forgiveness and deep cleansing in our lives. Because Jesus knows all about those sins anyway. All he's asking us to do is be honest. Confess those sins, to get them forgiven, so that we can move on in cleanness, in forgiveness, in purity, to serve and worship and follow him, to make him Lord of Lords in our lives and King of Kings over our lives. Why is it far better to confess our sins to God? Why is it far better to submit our lives to God? Because God is not the enemy to be feared. He is the one to trust. It's what Jesus says here. If we submit to God, if we confess our secret sins to God, we no longer need to be afraid of God. Do you realize that? If we are an unforgiven sinner, we should have a tremendous fear of God. Because God is the one who can throw us into hell. If we have submitted to God, if we've confessed our secret sins to God, we no longer need to have a quaking fear of God. Yes, we need to have a reverence and respect for God. We need to worship Him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we no longer need to be afraid of God, because instead of enemies of God, we have become friends with God. Instead of being condemned by God, we have become His precious children, His precious child. And as God's precious children, Jesus says here that God will care for us, that God will protect us. Our lives no longer need to be filled with fear and dread. God says to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That is the most repeated command when God turns up in the Bible. What does He have to say to nearly every Bible hero who's just in God? God's just spoken to me. What's He say? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. The angels, you know, choir of angels come to the shepherds on the hills around Jerusalem. What's going on? Fear not. I've come to bring you good news. Ah, I thought you were coming to judge us. Oh, you know, because we always fear the worst, don't we? Always fear the worst. But when God comes into our lives, He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus repeats it here in Luke 12, verse 7. And He gives us three reasons why we should not be afraid. Firstly, if you are a child of God, you are precious to God. You are precious to God. Do you feel precious this morning? Yes. You are precious to God. What does Jesus say? Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? For a very small amount of money. Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. That's an incredible statement, isn't it? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. What is Jesus saying here? You do not need to be afraid. Even of those who might abuse you or even kill you, God is watching over you. Even in the worst happens, your eternal future is secure, praise God. If God looks after, if He cares, if He provides for the common little sparrows, He can look after you, folks. You are much more valuable than a whole flock of sparrows. God will not forget you. He is watching over you. You will not be thrown into hell, even if you are murdered or martyred. Get this right. Jesus is not saying nothing bad will happen to you. He's not saying that, but He will watch over you. Nothing will happen to you that is not within His plan. Not that you have to be filled with fear. I wasn't going to share this, but 20 years ago, last Sunday, it was the first week that we'd moved to Sheffield. And we moved to Sheffield before I actually started to become the pastor of the church in October. And so we moved up to Sheffield so our children could go to school. And God had so clearly led us to Sheffield, and it was absolutely remarkable. And our eldest daughter, Sarah, got a place in sixth form at Tapton High School, which is one of the best schools in the city, in the poshest area of the city, Ranmore. Ranmore, wow, you know, if you live in Ranmore, you've got lots of money. And we hadn't even been here a week, and so she went to sixth form, age 16. First day at sixth form, she comes out after her first day, and she was horribly mugged outside the school on her first day. She was punched in the face. Her glasses were broken. They nicked her phone, nicked all the other possessions that she had with her. And, you know, it Before that time, it was a real attack. It was a real attack on us coming to Sheffield. We knew that. But it was a devastating time. And for the next 3 or 4 weeks, we had to deliver this 16-year-old who, when we lived in London, was going in on her own on the tube into a school in the centre of London, into a dangerous area of London, and quite confident. But obviously this happens and it destroys her confidence. But her trust is in the Lord. She made a commitment when she was 7. She's never looked back from that. And she had to learn not to fear. She had to learn that she could be confident that God was with her and that she could overcome the situation that she'd been in, that she could overcome the attack that she had been through. And you know, God promises to be with us. I believe God was still with Sarah through all of that. She now works for a church and serving the Lord and mum of 3 kids. But you know, it could have destroyed her. Could have destroyed her. She could have lost confidence completely. But her hope and her trust was in the Lord, because the Lord promises that he will watch over us. Doesn't mean to say bad things won't happen, but he is greater. Don't fear those who may abuse you. Don't fear those who might... Don't stop in life because you might get mugged or attacked or something like that, because God has your back. God is with you, and he will give you a victory. When the police came interviewed her, because she'd been obviously assaulted and everything else, and they said, well, where, because we said we were planning to move, weren't yet living in Burngreave, we thought we'd be living in Burngreave, and they said, oh, we'll probably be safer there. He said that you'll probably be safer there because no one assumes you've got any money or anything decent. He said they come from Burngreave to Ranmore to rob everyone. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it? God knows what he's doing. You are so valuable to God. You know, you're so valuable to God that even the hairs on your head are numbered. Looking at some of the bald heads today, perhaps that doesn't mean very much to you. And I have to be honest, I'm not sure that promise extends to hair extensions and wigs. Which I know, and I've learned that many of our ladies from a different continent wear wigs. But you know, the Lord knows your hairs, the real hairs that are there. And they're numbered, praise God. He knows everything about you. So if he knows those sorts of things, why on earth hold on to secret sins? Oh, keep this away from God. I daren't confess that to God. God knows about it anyway. Bring it to him. Confess it to him. Lay it out in the open before him. Repent of it. And receive him into your life. Secondly, and very quickly, if you speak the name of Jesus to others, as Hughes was telling us last Sunday, really encouraging us to speak the name of Jesus to others, your name will be honored in heaven. Isn't that great? What does Jesus say? I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will acknowledge him before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Jesus himself says how important his name is. How important it is to speak the name of Jesus, to tell others about Jesus. If you do, your name will be honored in heaven. Praise God. Your name will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. That means you can face the future with confidence. It means you can face eternity with confidence. Have you been speaking the name of Jesus? Have you been telling others about Jesus? If you have, your name will be honored. Your name will be honored. You will have an eternal inheritance in heaven with Jesus Christ. Praise God. What stops you from telling other people about Jesus? What stops me from telling other people about Jesus? Fear of man. It's the only thing, isn't it? The only thing that stops us telling other people about Jesus is fear of man. There's no other reason, really. It's fear of man instead of fear of God. Jesus says in these verses, don't let the fear of other people stop you telling them others about Jesus. You know, I'll be quite honest, fear of others has often stopped me telling others about Jesus. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to fill us with boldness and courage. Fill us up and send us out, Lord. Fill us up with the Holy Spirit and send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus gives a severe warning in these verses. If we disown Jesus, if we refuse to speak the name of Jesus, he will disown us on that day of judgment. It's a terrible warning, isn't it? Terrible warning. If we persistently resist and speak against Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we will not be forgiven and we will be condemned to hell. We sometimes worry about, oh, have I blasphemed the Holy Spirit? It's not a word. It's nothing about swearing. It's persistently resisting and speaking against Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And then finally, thirdly, the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say, says Jesus. Verse 11, when you are brought before the synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should share, what you should say. And you know, much of our fear about telling others about Jesus is anticipatory fear, isn't it? We fear that we won't know what to say if we are challenged, if we are criticized, so we say nothing. There's a beautiful promise here. If we boldly proclaim Jesus, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will teach us what to say. When our backs are up against the wall, when we are facing mockery, when we're facing persecution, if we keep quiet about Jesus, if we fail to make that stand for Jesus, we will not experience the Holy Spirit giving us the words to say. You know, fearing others, fearing persecution, not only stops us telling us others about Jesus, it also stops us having a Christian voice into the controversial issues of today. Issues such as gender and LGBTQ+, whatever, abortion, ethics, euthanasia. Because so often as Christians, we are afraid to speak Christian truth into issues because we will be mocked. We will be ridiculed. We will be called bigots. We might even get persecuted. We might even get arrested. And therefore, we say nothing. Of course, it is important to use Holy Spirit wisdom. Jesus doesn't call us as Christians to be offensive and judgmental or to court controversy. We don't want to be a bad witness for Jesus, but we desperately need the wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit to boldly make a stand for Jesus, don't we? Amen? We need that Holy Spirit wisdom and guidance to speak God's truth into society's issues today, to honor the name of Jesus, to make that stand for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So in summary, who are you afraid of? Does someone have a power over your life? Whoever you fear will control your life. Don't allow legalism and hypocrisy to rule your life. Submit to God. Confess your secret sins to him. God is not the enemy to fear. If you submit your life to him, he will care, protect, and provide for you. If you speak the name of Jesus to others, your name will be honored in heaven. And the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say when you make a stand for Jesus Christ. Praise God. Thank God for his words. Thank God for the word of Jesus Christ, because it speaks into our lives, it challenges us, it motivates us. So let us be people who speak the name of Jesus over every situation, into every person's life. That when, as Hughes was telling us last week, we hear people using the name of Jesus in vain, we turn it around and speak about Jesus to them. Thank Hughes for his message last Sunday. I went home. My neighbour was in the driveway. He was complaining about all the bushes that were obstructing his driveway. Well, it weren't my bushes, by the way, thankfully. And he said, you know, I nearly hit your wife's car. She drove out the other day. He said, I'm having to go by blind faith. I thought, oh, that's an opportunity, isn't it? So I said, well, it's good to have faith. It's good to have faith, Ashley, but make sure it's not blind. Make sure you know what you believe in. You know, it was wonderful. I wouldn't have had that conversation if it hadn't been for your challenge last week. Praise God. Let's be people who are ready to talk about Jesus in every situation, in season and out of season. When it's convenient, when it's inconvenient, then let's do it. Let's stand together, shall we? Going to ask Josephine and the team to come forward. I just want to pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, I thank you your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would apply your word into our hearts and our lives today, Lord. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would have open hearts towards you. Lord, if any of us is holding on to secret sins, Lord, help us to confess them to you. Lord, help us to come back to that first love that Helen was sharing and challenging us about. And Lord, fill us with Holy Spirit boldness, that Lord, we may proclaim the name of Jesus, that we may speak the name of Jesus to others. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, if we're your children, we are precious to you, that you care and provide for us, that you will give us the words to speak. Fill us up and send us out in the power of your Spirit, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.